Broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Big plows are clearing out the snow in Davenport, Iowa, as a powerful storm moves out. In North Florida, a suspected tornado ripped through the town of Graceville. This man was heading to the shelter when it hit.
The back of the house was ripping off, and I almost couldn't get the door shut. It was trying to suck the door open, and I literally had to brace my feet against the wall to pull the door to.
At least four people have died in the storm. Millions of people are now dealing with a snowy and drenching storm that's hitting dozens of states in the east. As that storm drenched Baltimore, CBS News Baltimore's Paul Gessler was talking with residents of low-lying areas.
Sandbags offer a defense of sorts to the heavy rainfall and the main concern to many who work and live here.
Flooding, of course. You know, we're low-lying down here. We've flooded before, so definitely flooding.
Trying to prepare for it so I don't have 3 inches of water in my basement.
Nakia is thankful she was able to get a few bags to better protect her home.
Sandbags are very expensive and they are really hard to come by, so this is definitely a big help.
City parking garages also open free to nearby residents to get their cars off the streets before floodwaters rise.
There's not bad weather, just bad preparedness, bad clothing, you know.
Boeing is promising to fix its 737 MAX 9 jets after a piece of the fuselage broke off during an Alaska Airlines flight on Friday. CEO Dave Calhoun spoke in a company video.
I didn't know what happened to whoever was supposed to be in the seat next to that hole in the airplane. I got kids, I got grandkids, and so do you. This stuff matters.
The White House is trying to tamp down the furor over Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's decision not to tell President Biden about his week-long hospitalization. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says Austin's job is not in danger.
He still has the full faith and confidence of the commander-in-chief. He has led the department at an incredibly dangerous time for our national security interests and those of our allies and partners.
There's been another delay getting Americans back onto the moon, says CBS's Matt Piper.
It now won't be until late 2026 when the first woman and first person of color will step foot on the moon. NASA delaying its Artemis moon landing program. The space agency had planned to send four astronauts around the moon late this year. That's now set for late next year. The first human moon landing in more than 50 years also got bumped from 2025 to September 2026. It cited safety and technical issues for the delays.
At least three people have been hospitalized after eating colorful pods of liquid laundry detergent that were distributed by a presidential campaign in Taiwan. Taiwanese media reports said the victims thought the pods were candy. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wet, heavy snow fell in much of southern and eastern Wisconsin until late on Tuesday. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells Jane Mattinier that 40-mile-per-hour winds will keep driving hazardous until the snow ends.
When you get underneath one of those snow bands, you'll see some snow accumulating a lot quicker out there, making it harder for the plows to keep up with. But they've been doing an awesome job so far. Mm-hmm. I've been checking cameras across the state. Hats off to you guys.
Wet, heavy snow is causing some power outages. Governor Evers says he's having a hard time finding a new Department of Natural Resources secretary. The Republican-controlled state Senate fired eight of his appointees to different boards and commissions last fall. Evers says some candidates he's considered tell him they don't want to put their families in that situation. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
College basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles hope to get a win tonight as they host Butler. Marquette has dropped to 11 in the AP Top 25 after losing two of their last four games. A big upset last night in the Big Ten. Nebraska at home beat number one ranked Purdue 88-72. That's the first time the Cornhuskers have beat a number one ranked team since 1982. Badgers on the road tonight. They take on Ohio State. NFL, the Packers and the Cowboys Sunday in the wild card playoffs. Matt LaFleur with praise for Jordan Love, leading his team to the postseason, his first year at quarterback.
You know, his family did a hell of a job raising him in terms of just what he's all about. great things are in store for him.
The New York Jets had a losing season after Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles tendon. He had this to say after meeting with his coaches.
Some things in every organization, and we did this for 18 years in Green Bay, the exit meetings are important to just get everything on the table that's happened, flush the bullshit that you need to move forward, and then refine your focus moving forward.
That's Aaron Rodgers with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cloudy skies in the overnight with gusty north or northwest winds, mid-20s by sunrise. The clouds stay with us Wednesday, highs right around 30 degrees. The winds will turn to the south. Wednesday night, we'll have a chance of snow developing late with a few inches of accumulation. Right now, it's 31.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show Tuesday. Snowmageddon here in the great state of Wisconsin, at least that's what the weatherman claimed last night. And not really fully come to fruition, Dom. Just a heavy snow. A happier happy hour. Welcome to it.
Hey, Curdy, thank you. Yeah, it's January in Wisconsin. It will snow. Thankfully, not as bad as predicted, but folks, be careful out there.
How do you think they do on the plowing in Iowa, Dom? Tomorrow.
Oh, they're fine.
The For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024, it officially hits the road tomorrow morning, Dom. I'm heading to Des Moines, and I'm going there for the alternative to the Trump GOP presidential debate at the Drake University. And I might even go catch a doubleheader, Dom. I might even go, you know, troll the Trump crowd at the town hall, the Foxy News town hall in Des Moines as well. But you know for sure-sies, I'm going to be trolling every Republican that comes into the Des Moines Marriott lobby downtown bar. I'm just telling you, we've learned lessons. We've been doing this. This is our third elective presidential cycle, third trip to Des Moines. And here's, pardon me, here's perhaps the good news, Tom. Maybe the last one. Because the Democrats don't give a damn about Iowa anymore. So it doesn't matter to the Dems. So might be my last trip to Iowa.
Well, Monday. It might be the last election cycle. Depends on who wins the presidency. Well, you know what I mean?
The immunity claims of the former president, they played out in a judicial hearing today in the D.C. circuit, my understanding. And three judges heard, and D. John Sauer was there for the appellate, right? Because it was Trump that appealed. He's the defendant. And he claims he's got presidential immunity.
Absolute immunity.
And in fact, his legal counsel went into court today and started making these pretty bold claims about just how broad the immunity of the president. And the only exception was the impeachment. And he talked about the impeachment clause. I took a couple of notes. The impeachment judgment clause. Article 2, Section 1, he kept referencing this D. John Sauer guy because that's Trump's legal claim. Double jeopardy, which doesn't make an ounce of sense, but if he's not convicted at impeachment, then he effectively is forever immune from prosecution. That's the legal argument they claim. And I would just point out how craven these current Republicans that they numerically acquitted this guy at the second impeachment.
Well, although a majority did vote for him to be convicted, it did not meet the
all the Democrats
standard in this political process that is impeachment.
So back to D. John Sauer and back to the oral arguments being made earlier today. And this is some bold stuff they're claiming. Absolute immunity.
We got to do cut 11 again. I think we need to start.
Yes.
Kind of refresh. It's a new hour. It's the happy hour. We ended on it. I want to hear it again.
So
I
this
want
is
everyone to hear it. And this is, so you know, this is what the former president's position is. And this is what a lot of the GOP apparently believe. And can you just imagine if the black president was saying this stuff, how these Republicans would react?
Well, and the questions are being asked by the three-panel federal judiciary from the D.C. Circuit. But for the defend on Trump, D. John Sauer. And he's let's just let you judge. Hear it from your own point of view. Cut 11, please.
Could a president order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival? That's an official act in order to SEAL Team 6.
He would have to be and would speedily be, you know, impeached and convicted before the criminal prosecution.
What if he weren't? There would be no criminal prosecution, no criminal liability for that.
Chief Justice's opinion in Marbury against Madison and our Constitutional Tradition and the plain language of the impeachment judgment clause all clearly presuppose that what the founders were concerned about was not.
I asked you a yes or no question. Could a president who ordered SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival who was not impeached, would he be subject to criminal prosecution?
If he were impeached and convicted first. And so
your answer is no.
My answer is qualified yes.
Qualified yes, Dom? Wow. Yes, with an asterisk. With prior impeachment conviction. Then, and only then, according to the legal pleadings of D. John Sauer, then and only then could Trump be prosecuted. And since,
don't worry about it, Crudy. If that were to happen, according to Trump's attorney, that he would have to be and speedily be convicted of impeachment in the Senate. That's quite a bold statement. What makes him think that would actually happen? Again, if you drop a dime on someone, if the boss is whacking the capos, you think they're all going to let's convict. Because if they got whacked next before the conviction, there would be no recourse for the American people, or there'd be no justice, no opportunity for justice sought.
And sort of an out of sequence, but there's new reporting from Mediaite today, Roger Stone, and this is on audio tape. This is not just random reporting. So set aside the source and consider the fact it's on audio tape. Roger Stone, who's a very close, let's just call him ally, and he was down at the hotel, right, the command center, while the January 6th was going on. Mm-hmm. He is caught on tape saying, effectively, it's time to start killing people. And specifically, he named names. Congressman Eric Swalwell and Jerry Nadler. And both these guys were what? On the Trump impeachment panel. And it was his goal, or at least his stated purpose, to go and kill one of those two. And set an example.
Send a message, yes.
Send a message. We'll get to that reporting, but let's go back to the D.C. courts, Dom. Let's go back inside the chambers. I don't hear this sort of legal wrangling up close and personal like I did today. Made a little special extra time for it. You know, snow day and all. So yeah, what are we up to? If you can't hire SEAL Team 6 without, you know, expeditiously being impeached, although I'm not convinced that this Republican-led Congress would even impeach the former president, even if he hired SEAL Team 6. But let's continue. Can he be prosecuted? He can be prosecuted. Played for the people. Cut
12.
12.
If a president is impeached or convicted, impeached and convicted by Congress, that he is subject to criminal prosecution, correct?
That would be unnecessary. You said to prosecution.
Is that a yes?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So therefore, he's not completely and absolutely immune because under the procedure that you concede, he can be prosecuted if there's an impeachment and conviction by the Senate.
Very, very formidable structural check against the astonishing and radical action of prosecuting a former president with official acts.
But you're conceding that presidents can be currently prosecuted under certain circumstances.
Specifically, if they're impeached and convicted, I think that's the plain language of the impeachment judgment clause.
Do you see what she did there? She effectively got a very tortured concession.
Yes.
Yes, the president can be prosecuted. He just sets this pre-course. You know, you must convict and impeach. I'm not so sure the federal judiciary is going to agree with that, even the U.S. Supreme Court, because you know where they're running to next. But let's play a little bit more of this inside the circuit court sound for you, our fair audience. I feel privileged to bring this to the people today, Dom. Otherwise, a snowy, boring little day, but we got important stuff for you. Isn't that a concession? Cut 13.
And isn't that also a concession that a president can be criminally prosecuted for an official act, because presidents can be impeached for official acts
under those unique circumstances?
Correct. But given that you're conceding that presidents can be criminally prosecuted under certain circumstances, doesn't that narrow the issues before us to can a president be impeached? Can a president be prosecuted without first being impeached and convicted? All of your other arguments seem to fall away. Your separation of powers arguments fall away. Your policy arguments fall away if you concede that a president can be criminally prosecuted under some circumstances.
I disagree with that. The Constitution in the Article 2, Section 1 Vesting Clause, as interpreted very clearly by Chief Justice Marshall in Marbury against Madison, says Article 3 courts lack jurisdiction to engage in examination of the president's official acts. That's
but
been
you
reaffirmed
just conceded
by-
that Article 3 courts can do so if he's been impeached and convicted.
Yeah, dude. Good luck. He says a lot of words, but she's not falling for it.
Well, he wants to keep coming back to this whole impeachment clause. And he keeps striking Article 2, Section 1. That's the only relevant, right? But they get to decide. He's just trying to direct them, cajole them, encourage yeah. them to see things his way. But ultimately, this panel, they get to decide. Dom, I did not find Dijon, what did I say his last name was? Dijon losing counsel. Right. I didn't find him persuasive. He is intelligent. He is smart. This is not the cheap lawyer. This is not Alina Haba. This isn't Jenna Ellis. Hell, this isn't even Rudy. This guy, he's intelligent. I mean, you can hear, he knows the law. He's arguing one step below the Supreme Court at this point.
Yes, and that's fine. And I have seen some reporting. I don't have it in front of me. I'll try to find it over the break. That when he references this impeachment clause, that some of the constitutional lawyers, I believe it was on MSNBC, referenced that was specifically put in the Constitution to limit the powers of the Senate, not to give an executive branch president a get-out-of-jail-free card.
From a certain point of view, come back. It's a happy hour with you, 844-96-PARTY.
We have to fear is fear itself.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough. But if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Do you have the time?
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
About nothing and everything all at once.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines 844-967-2789. Trump in court today. It didn't have to be, but, you know, got to make a campaign stop, make it political for him. Just a quick paragraph from the Washington Post on this hearing today. Judge Karen L. Anderson, the lone Republican appointee on the court, expressed some concern about opening the floodgates for politically motivated prosecutions. A future president, which Trump's lawyers repeatedly warned would be the outcome.
Pandora's box.
But Henderson joined the two Democratic appointees on the panel in expressing doubts about Trump's legal arguments. At one point, she said it was, quote, paradoxical to say that his constitutional duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed allows him to violate criminal laws. Yeah, a bit paradoxical, I would say.
I didn't like philosophy. I didn't like Dr. Shurowitz. But that logic, that philosophy espoused by that conservative appointee. Yes, that. You cannot be immune from the laws that you have pledged to uphold. You put your hand on the Bible and swear to the Constitution, all that kind of stuff, right, Dom? It seems like a conflicted argument to me.
Indeed, it is. And again, going back to the point that if Donald Trump's philosophy, if their attorneys today were correct, then Biden could have him whacked
today. You know, presidential immunity.
Yeah. That's just so terrible.
You know, it's very insightful, and I appreciate the fact that we're able to bring the audience inside the courtroom, the oral arguments. You don't get to hear this. And it wasn't very prevalent before, let's say, the pandemic. But this is the pleadings being made by the Trump legal team and the pleadings being made effectively. The former president had absolute immunity. And because technically he was still the president, he can do any damn thing. And as long as they didn't convict him and impeach him, you know, conviction and impeachment, then, you know, to get out of jail free because he's exempt from all other forms of prosecution, or at least that's the pleadings they made. And let's just say the judicial panel, a little skeptical. Here's a little bit more, couple more. These are longer. Please indulge us. I think you're smart people. You can play along. Cut 14, please.
Constitution makes a carefully balanced, explicit exception to that principle in the impeachment judgment clause. So the problem for the separation of powers, the Constitution does this in many other situations where it engages in a balancing. What the framers were most concerned about was not the notion that the president would never be prosecuted for things that outrageous political opponents. What they were concerned about was politically motivated prosecutions. But they didn't say the president can never be prosecuted. They set up the separation of powers and then created a very narrow exception that would allow prosecution in those cases.
But once you concede that there's not this absolute immunity, that the judiciary can hear criminal prosecutions under any circumstances, you're saying there's one specific circumstance, then that means that there isn't this absolute immunity that you claim.
Don't. I think that D. John Sauer is D. John Sauer Puss right about that. 844-967-2789. Dom, there is one more.
Let's do it.
Let's do them all. Folks, you wanted us on this wall, listening to the sound, breaking it down to the most important parts for you. Nate, thank you for your hard work. The argument, let's just say the Trump argument falls apart. Cut 15.
I'm not aware of any case or constitutional doctrine that would say the Constitution sets up a very strong principle and it creates a very narrow exception, and therefore the exception just makes the principle vanish. I just disagree.
That's not what I'm asking you. I'm saying that you're coming before us and saying that there is this absolute immunity that is grounded in the separation of powers, that the judiciary can never sit in judgment on what the president is doing, but you're conceding that that's not true because under some circumstances, the judiciary can do that. That's all I'm saying.
I think I repeat my answer, which is that there's a very strong principle in the separation of powers that prohibits Article III courts from sitting in judgment over a president's official acts. There's a very narrow exception for conviction after impeachment.
I understand.
And that's the position.
It just seems to me that if once you concede that presidents can be prosecuted under some circumstances, your separation of powers argument falls away. And the issues before us are narrowed to, are you correct in your interpretation of the impeachment judgment clause? Does the impeachment judgment clause actually say what you say it says? That's all that's really we need to decide.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a glorious victory for the Trump legal team today.
And, you know, now looking back, listening to that Trump song earlier in the show, maybe that's why.
Let's play it for the people one more time so you understand why I didn't know whether or not maybe, because I heard Trump say it first. Nate, if you'd be so kind, play cut one again, Trump post-hearing.
We had a very momentous day in terms of what was learned and what they've conceded. They conceded two major points that were... they were right in doing it. I don't think they had much of a choice, but they're very, very big, very powerful points. And I think we're doing very well.
Come on. I would entertain anyone telling me what the very powerful points were made by D. John Sauer today, legal counsel for Trump. What did he succeed in convincing the court? I mean, she effectively, at the very end there, you heard the federal judiciary say, if, you know, we've now, because of your pleadings, which would tie this all back to, you know, this immunity is tied to a post-impeachment, but it all ties together. So if we believe your pleadings, it's all narrowed down to whether or not we believe you. And Tom, they don't. They're very skeptical. So this is not going to be upheld, right?
No, this will not be
upheld.
Week
or two, we'll get a rapid response from the district court.
Next week, dude. I mean, I think it'll go quick. And one thing that's kind of lost in this is that the official act thing, and it was the George H.W. Bush appointed judge who kind of went down this path a little bit more than what we've heard in some of the sound. Addressing, you know, administrative kind of acts versus official acts and breaking that down. And I'm just curious, even if you believe the premise of Trump's attorney, what were the official acts that Donald Trump was engaged in? What is the official act about, you know, pressuring state legislatures who have or state election officials who have states have the rights to do their elections, pressuring them to change the vote?
You know, in part, and I did listen to the testimony when questioned. D. John Sauer said effectively, well, some of these meet that criterion. And she said, well, which ones? And then he goes through and he says, well, you know, there's some Congress part and there's some other part. And then she said, well, if only some. He goes, no, they all meet the standard. So even in that, regard, you know, you could see that they were very skeptical of the arguments, the pleadings, because they knew what they were coming in to say, right? These are just your closing arguments. You've already presented your final paper before you get to court. And it's ludicrous to think that any man or woman, any president, effectively has the power to kill their political opponent or have them assassinated and then be scot-free? I mean, hell, where do I sign up for that job? Dictator. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay?
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief, a massive winter storm has been pummeling millions of Americans from the Midwest to the Northeast. CBS's Dave Malkoff.
In Baltimore, sandbags are helping protect low-lying areas, and the governor of New Jersey has declared a state of emergency. The same storm triggered weather warnings across the central U.S., including Iowa, creating dangerous driving conditions in Davenport.
In a Boeing video, CEO Dave Calhoun is promising the company will do better after a part of the fuselage broke off one of its 737 MAX 9 jets on Friday.
We're going to approach this, number one, acknowledging our mistake. We are going to approach it with 100% and complete transparency every step of the way.
NASA says a moon orbit has been postponed until September 2025 and a moon landing until a year after that. Administrator Bill Nelson.
Safety is our top priority.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. New technology developed in Wisconsin could help doctors detect developmental disorders before a baby is born. The University of Wisconsin in Madison says it's currently focused on autism, ADHD, and other disorders that aren't usually diagnosed until later. Republicans say they'll shut down the federal government if they don't get a deal to shut down the border. Congressman Brian Stile on WISN-TV's Up Front.
We're fighting about whether or not we should be mopping up the mess on the floor. I say, turn the spigot off, and you turn the spigot off by actually ending the illegal immigration in the United States and securing the border.
Democrats note that lawmakers have passed on several opportunities to update immigration laws, but haven't. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and won.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Takes the three, sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cloudy skies in the overnight with gusty north or northwest winds, mid-20s by sunrise. The clouds stay with us Wednesday, highs right around 30 degrees. The winds will turn to the south. Wednesday night, we'll have a chance of snow developing late with a few inches of accumulation. Right now, it's 31.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213. Or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's good to be king.
The Devil's Advocates. Radio just for nasty women everywhere.
To be there in velvet. Yeah, to give them a smile.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. A Snowmageddon happier happy hour. Dom, I'm just looking out the window. It's like a snow globe out there. But, you know, maybe 3 inches. I don't know. I feel a little disappointed. You know, I do have to travel extensively in the morning. Long drive, like 4.5 hours to Des Moines, Iowa. I hope you tune in. If I'm making the trip, and Dom, you better be a part as well. But if I'm making this damn trip to Des Moines,
I'll tune in, Crudy.
You better tune in for a Wednesday edition and the late night bar time insights on the Thursday show. And then, Dom, you and I are both going to Dubuque, first in the nation preference. It's the Iowa caucuses. It'll be our third. And that'll be Monday, January 15th, for the Love of Democracy Tour 2024. Thank you to Chad's Design Build. They're sponsoring all this travel, Dom. You know, it adds up.
Yeah, it does.
You get the good internet, it adds up, Dom. But,
well, and also, Iowa's cheaper than Vegas, though, baby.
Well, I got to tell you, the surge pricing going on right now in Des Moines, it is cheaper to get a room at the Bellagio than get a room at the Des Moines downtown Marriott tomorrow night.
Fantastic.
For whatever that's worth. 844-967-2789. We'll go to the phones in just a minute. We've been talking about the immunity hearing, and Trump decided he was going to leave the campaign trail. You know, he's in a big lead in Iowa. DeSantis is back giving a half-hearted stay the course speech down in Florida. He's also off the campaign trail. Everybody else is campaigning. I bet you Nikki Haley's shaking some hands in a snowstorm today in Iowa. But from the Washington Post coverage of the earlier hearing today, D. John Sauer, the aforementioned counsel for Trump, insisted that for any crime connected to a president's official duties, the political process of impeachment and conviction by the Senate would have to occur before prosecution. He predicted that if the president was involved in murdering someone, you know, he'd be speedily impeached.
Why would you say that?
The hearing, which
based on what?
Dom, the hearing, which included references dating back to George Washington's tenure, showed how the historic prosecution of Trump has raised difficult questions, largely avoided for more than two centuries, about the limits of presidential power and the consequences of presidential crimes. No president has been charged with a crime before, and both Trump and his attorneys warned that the case would open a Pandora's box. That was the pleading. That was the legal pleading. That's how we started today. For future presidents to be charged with all manner of crimes or serve in fear, Dom, of facing such charges when they leave the White House. Maybe if he did less criming. A little bit more here, actually. Dom, Trump has already vowed to hire a special prosecutor to go after Biden and his family. Trump said after the hearing, "It'll be bedlam in this country," right? That was one of the things he said. It will be terrible. Bedlam in this country. He had to go to the hotel, Dom. He used to own that place. Not so much anymore.
There's a little bit more on here. I believe, James Pierce, he's the Justice Department attorney. He responded that Trump's singular actions had brought the country to this point, quote, "Never before has there been allegations that a sitting president has with private individuals and using the levers of power sought to fundamentally subvert the Democratic Republic and the electoral system." He said Trump's case does not, it is a sea change of vindictive tit-for-tat prosecutions in the future. I think it reflects the fundamentally unprecedented nature of the criminal charges here. Trump was not required to attend the hearing, but chose to, as Pierce made the point. Trump quietly shook his head in disagreement. Otherwise, he appeared to listen impassively from the courtroom gallery as the judges challenged his attorney's contentions. And there was seemingly lots of challenging going on today. And again, to repeat, we must beat this point home. Donald Trump's legal position at the D.C. appellate court is that he could assassinate his political rivals and get away with it so long as he was not impeached first.
And Dominic, you understand the presidency has the unrestrained power of the pardon, right? That would be one of his official acts. And that was discussed today in this court hearing. You know, what if the president was selling pardons? I'm thinking that might be a real life circumstance. But anyways, Mediaite, and this is supported by audio tape. Roger Stone spoke with Coppell about assassinating Eric Swalwell and Jerry Nadler. So maybe Trump wouldn't kill a guy, but would he pardon, you know, maybe Roger Stone if he directed a political hit against a Democratic congressman who was prosecuting Trump through the impeachment process, you know, that trigger, according to his legal counsel, of potential future criminal prosecution? Because if you don't have a successful impeachment, you can't have a prosecution. That was the legal argument they made. Weeks before the 2020 presidential election, infamous political operative Roger Stone sat across from his associate Sal Greco at a restaurant in Florida. At the time, Greco was a NYPD cop working security for Stone on the side. Their conversation at the Cafe Europa in Fort Lauderdale focused on two House Democrats for whom Stone harbors particular animosity, Jerry Nadler and Eric Swalwell. In audio, this is on a recorded tape, Dom. In audio of the conversation obtained exclusively by Mediaite, Stone made threatening comments about the two lawmakers. "It's time to do it," Stone told Greco. "Let's find Swalwell. It's time to do it. Then we'll see how brave the rest of them are. It's time to do it. It's either Nadler or Swalwell has to die before the election. They need to get the message. Let's go find Swalwell and get this over with. I'm just not putting up with this," and I can't say that word on the radio, blank, anymore. Now, a source familiar with the discussion told Mediaite they believe Stone's remarks were serious. It was definitely concerning that he was constantly planning violence with an NYPD officer and other militia groups. Both Nadler and Swalwell serve on the House Judiciary Committee. At the time of the Cafe Europa conversation, Nadler had announced the committee would be investigating then-President Donald Trump's decision to commute Stone's sentence after he was convicted of federal crimes in the special counsel Robert Mueller Russia probe. "You're going to investigate my pardon? I'm going to have your ass killed. And my guy's still in the White House. He'll pardon me again." I mean, this is sort of troubling.
Roger Stone tweeted out today, all caps, you know, like his boss. "Exclusive left-wing Mediaite fails to produce or post audio of tape where they allege falsely that I plotted to assassinate political opponents because they don't exist or can't pass analysis for authenticity," and in parentheticals writes AI. Hashtag fake news from Roger Stone.
Now, in July of 2020, Jerry Nadler had written on the Twitter, Dom, "A jury found Roger Stone guilty. By commuting his sentence, President Trump has infected our judicial system with partisanship and cronyism and attacked the rule of law."
Yeah.
"Ad House Judiciary will conduct an aggressive investigation into this brazen corruption." The source told Mediaite of Stone. Stone had been at war with Nadler and Swalwell for years. He just hates them. He just wanted to get Trump back in office so these things would stop. It's almost like there's, you know, some self-motive there. Stone was convicted of obstruction, witness tampering, and lying to Congress in the Mueller investigation. Prosecutors sought a 9-year prison sentence for the longtime operative, but Trump's Justice Department reportedly intervened to impose a less severe sentence. Stone's sentence was eventually commuted by Trump days before he reported to prison. I think he would have lost his mattress, Dom. 844-967-2789. Against my better judgment. Happy Snowmageddon, CJ. How you doing, man?
Hey, CJ, please stay on top of it.
Well, as I listen to you guys, it amazes me how your focus, yes. I can see, you know, that he's an opponent of our current president, And as our troops are being attacked all over the world, and this president, and our secretary is hiding in the hospital.
There are hotspots around the world, CJ, but we're not currently under fire. Last hotspot I recall was Afghanistan, and we withdrew.
Oh,
okay. You've reminded us umpteen times.
As I asked, and I would expect you to respect our wishes here, CJ, you just heard, if you've been listening to this show, and I know you do, and we thank you for that, you just heard Trump's attorneys present to the D.C. appellate court that Donald Trump should be immune from prosecution should he murder his political opponent. And I'd like to know what your thoughts are on that, because certainly if that a rule applies to a president, Biden owns or sits in the presidency now. Do you think if that were to be true, that Biden would have the opportunity, he could go murder Trump without any fear of prosecution? Do you think that's a logical act, a statement, CJ?
I think this is his most difficult case. And no, I don't think any president should have absolute immunity. I don't care who it is. But the mere fact that, again, you know, these charges, we can look all over the other four or the other three charges that are, you know, are cases.
Well, it's 91 charges in four jurisdictions. I would
bias in all three of those, Crudy.
Well, here's what I would say, CJ.
Bias can be proven because we've got.
I'll throw out the Alvin Bragg. I'll throw out the Stormy Daniels with you. And in the short run, Eileen Cannon, the Trump appointee, is making sure the West Palm Beach is not going to trial anytime soon. But Trump clearly had documents. But I'll even set aside the paperwork crimes. If you set aside the complete and utter presidential immunity argument, that means Donald Trump's got to go to trial in the Jack Smith, in the Chutkin, for the January 6th. And that's the only one I've ever cared about, CJ. How do you feel like this man defends himself against charges, you know, maybe not insurrection, but the fact that he incited and wanted this to happen, and it was his officials, it was his administration, his lawyers directing this procedural coup that turned into a riot? What do you say to that, CJ?
Well, you know what? No, I don't agree with that at all, because you can prove who's Jack Smith's boss. Who's Merrick Garland's boss? Joe Biden. It's political. Well,
by that logic, that's the whole Bill Barr argument, dude. That's the whole. I mean, we've had special counselors. Who was John Durham's boss? You love the Durham report when the special counsel was a Trump appointee, dude.
Yeah, good point.
You can't have it both ways.
You never read the Durham report.
There was no report, dude.
Did you?
I
never read the Durham report, did you?
I read parts
you
of
never
it.
Read the
CJ. I'm telling you, I read parts of it. Just like I listened to like an hour of the testimony, but not every minute of the testimony, because there are certain limitations. It's called a clock and daylight, and I can only be so many places at so many times. And I'm going to Iowa in the morning, man.
But let's answer the question,
CJ.
Crudy, who was Durham's boss when he released that report?
Well, that'd be Merrick Garland.
Oh, okay.
And by extension, that would be Joe Biden's boss.
Oh, okay. Okay. And who is prosecuting Hunter Biden right now? Is that the DOJ?
That would be a special counselor who was an appointee of the Trump. That's Weiss, I believe, who is actually doing the prosecution.
Under the DOJ, right? Under Biden.
Under Biden. That's why he's getting a sweetheart deal. You know. And the fact that Trump took, $5.5 million from the Chinese, that always gets ignored.
Just the Chinese. Plus. And that's what we know of? Come on, man.
But Hunter's laptop and Hillary's emails and Benghazi and Afghanistan. And this guy's standing outside a courtroom today saying, I have absolute immunity. There was fraud in the 2020 election. Determinative. He's out there playing king today. And the only kings are the kings of radio. Diamond Crude, come back with us.
Yeah, baby.
Join us, 844-967-2789.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. Whether it's music or anything else, I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It is our last segment of the day. So if you have something to say, you can join us on the lines right now at 844-967-2789. Stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up next.
Dominic, I watched Trump today coming out of the courthouse. And, well, courtroom, went to a hotel, used to own, and gave a little speechifying. So glorious today. We made two good points. I don't know what they are, but I feel quite confident. And then the other thing I devoted my attention to today, Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show. Because Aaron Rodgers was trash-talking Jimmy Kimmel and said, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, effectively saying to the effect that Jimmy Kimmel, you know, is just hoping he's not on the pedophile list coming out in the Epstein case. And Jimmy Kimmel took some personal offense and, you know, put out a tweet like, you know, if I ever have to defend these points of view, these facts, let's call them, it'll be in a court of law, Aaron Rodgers.
You done messed up, A-Rod.
And so Jimmy Kimmel last night came out and did a little monologue, Dom, like 7.5 minutes. And we're not going to play the 7.5 minute monologue. We don't have that much time left in this show, but we got a little bit of it. Nate's done a little of the hard work. Nate, let's play a little of the Jimmy Kimmel monologue to start the show last night.
Aaron Rodgers is too arrogant to know how ignorant he is. They let him host Jeopardy for 2 weeks. Now he knows everything.
Let's keep going.
This hamster-brained man thinks he knows what the government is up to because he's a quarterback doing research on YouTube and listening to podcasts. I looked it up. This is actually a thing. It's called the Dunning-Kruger effect.
One more.
Aaron got 2 A's on his report card. They were both in the word Aaron, okay?
A little bit more here from Kimmel's monologue last night and the reporting thereof. Aaron Rodgers has a very high opinion of himself because he had success on the football field. He believes himself to be an extraordinary being. He genuinely thinks because God gave him an ability to throw a ball, he's smarter than everyone else. The idea that his brain is just average is unfathomable to him. We learned during COVID, somehow he knows more about science than scientists. A guy who went to community college and then got to Cal on a football scholarship and didn't graduate. Someone who spent a minute studying the human body is an expert in the field of immunology. He put on a magic helmet, and that G made him a genius. Aaron, well, we talked about the fact, Aaron got 2 A's on his report card, and they were both in the name Aaron. So anyways, Dom, I did the follow-up, and I watched Aaron Rodgers trash talking, F-bombing on the Pat McAfee show today. Very profane. And on the ESPN, they do allow, and they televise this. I was watching it on TV. Pat McAfee, former punter turned, you know, talk jock. And Aaron Rodgers does these paid hits. And Aaron Rodgers effectively said this on the show. And ESPN apologized. And Pat McAfee said, well, you know, he's just S talking. And Jimmy Kimmel said, well, you know, that's not S talk. That's an accusation. So I watched Aaron Rodgers today.
Oh, my God. I used to admire this guy. He went full anti-Fauci. Anti-Fauci. I mean, he's going after, and he sounded like Ron Johnson. And at one point, I'm pretty sure, you know, MAGA was brought up, and he's like, oh, no, I'm not MAGA. I'm not very political, he says. But he's, you know, just eviscerating Fauci, saying Fauci effectively had financial benefit to push the vaccines. And that's why they were pushing the vaccines. And, you know, not that he's an immunologist. He made that point a couple times. And he just dug and dug and dug. And
hey, if you've been immunized, doesn't that make you an immunologist?
Maybe in his world. Not his finer moment, Dom. And three F-bombs. And he attacked the ESPN executive, and he didn't apologize. Does this guy have a manager or anyone that he takes counsel from? I mean, I know
you done messed up, Aaron.
I know I'm pretty undirectable, completely unemployable. I mean, you know that about me, and I know that about you, Dom. But do you think the man takes advice from anyone? He should.
I mean, if you know everything and you're on the radio, who do you need to take advice from? I mean, you know you're qualified to do absolutely everything in this world if you talk in front of a mic.
Pretty much. 844-967-2789.
Ask Mike Pence.
Jake from Eureka, California. How you doing, Jake?
Hey, Jake, welcome.
Hey, guys. Yeah, you know, the Packers really dodged a bullet there with Aaron. You know, they got rid of that ridiculous contract. They got a new quarterback, the youngest team in the league, and they're going to the playoffs. You know, so, yeah, thank you very much for leading, Mr. Rodgers.
And if I played my cards right, I will be in Vegas for the Super Bowl. Well, if the Packers are there, I would suck it up and like eat three more nights in a hotel just to say I was there. Because you cannot afford to fly out the Monday after the Super Bowl. At least I cannot. You're stuck in Vegas for like half the week. You can affordably get to Vegas.
Man.
You just can't affordably get out of Vegas after the Super Bowl. Appreciate it.
Yeah, but you can get to Reno quick.
844-967-2789. Cam from Nina. Welcome, sir. What do you got?
Hello, Cam.
Hey, so when Rodgers was saying that stuff, I saw glimpses of it today as well. And I just think, like, it's got to be the same thing as with Elon's, because Elon ended up being anti-left-wing in general when he got surrounded by the same people that were equally as upset that their profits were being impacted by COVID lockdowns, because he couldn't get his gigafactory working during lockdown. So that's when he started trailing pretty hard into the right-leaning stuff, and the right is full of a lot of bootlickers and yes men. So of course he loves that, someone that's addicted to Twitter. So I mean, Aaron Rodgers too, like, I'm sure that he was impacted financially, and he was only pissed off about that and calling it horrible. Yeah, you know.
We do know.
Yeah. We know. This isn't ESPN. We can't say those things on the FCC-regulated airwaves. Appreciate your call, Cam.
A few of the texts. Don't want to ignore the texters. Jeff texts in, I still think you guys pay CJ to call in with the inane comments. Here's a texter that says, Clay sucks. Well, I'm not going to read that one on the radio. F this guy, I think they mean you, CJ. And then Wes from Middleton. 8 inches in Middleton, Crudy. Yeah, maybe at your house, Wes. Thank you all for listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Stick around. The Mankey Dawn Show is next. And then Busted Pencils, Educated Educators Talking Education, The Nightlight, Happy Snowmageddon. See you live from Des Moines, Iowa tomorrow on the road.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour,